Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Alhamdulillah, munshil khalqi bin ma'adani, thumma salatu ala al-mukhtari fi al-qidami mawla yasahi wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim amin tada kuri jiranin bidi salami ma zaddadam an jaramin muqlatin bidami mawla لا يصال وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ام هبات ريح من تلقائك ظلمات او ما ظل برق في الظلماء من عظام مولا يصال وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فما عينيك إن قلت كفوفا هامتا وما لي قلبك إن قلت استفيق ياهيمي مولاي صلي وسلم دائما.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي Rabbi habli hukma wal hiqni bis salihin waj'al li lisana sidqin fil akhirin. Ad-durratul farda sharhu qasidatil burda, the exclusive pearl detailing the stanzas of qasida burda. Alhamdulillah thumma alhamdulillah, in this lessons or these lessons that have passed and the lesson that is to come, amongst the things that we learn is love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We learn many words that are coming out from these particular stanzas by looking at different Quranic verses as well as ahadith mubarakah. We look at different verses, different ahadith, where this word fits in which hadith, and then we look at it from that angle. Then we also look at what is the spiritual side of it, and like this, what is the aqidah side of it, if there is anything to be explained from that particular angle. So, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we move on with this. Remember, it is the chapter of the nafs. And what is this nafs? The nafs, as Allama Busayri rahimullah has mentioned, it is this year, وَخْشَدْ دَسَائِسَ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَمِنْ شِبَعٍ. How to manage the nafs, in fact. Managing the nafs is وَخْشَدْ دَسَائِسَ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَمِنْ شِبَعٍ. So when you come out of the month of Ramadan, you know that by controlling your stomach, by controlling your eating, then you are able to do so much more. Who can deny that you did more on an empty stomach, one elderly person said. And we mentioned this last week, that what did he say? He said, when the stomachs were empty, the masajid were full. And now when the stomachs are full, the masajid are empty. When the stomachs were empty, the masajid were full. Amazing. And now, when the stomachs are full, the masajid are empty. Like this, together with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never made Ramadan 12 months of the year, full-time fasting. No, balance, teaching you balance. And what is this year? The balance between eating and staying hungry. This is what you're going to learn in this particular lesson. Wakhsha. This word here, you find it many times in the Quran Sharif. Khashya, yakhsha, comes from those who love Arabic. Sami'a, yasma'u, is the scale that is there. Khashyatan. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran Sharif, inna nasa qad jama'u lakum fakhshawhum. So the people said, surely the people, those who were the munafiqeen and the rest, they said, the people have come, they've gathered upon you. Fakhshawhum, fear them. But for the people of Iman, what has happened to them? It only increases their Iman. So when they see all these things, it can be from the UAE, which we don't focus much of our attention on, the UAE supplying the rapid support forces, and that is in Sudan, fueling the war there. Last year, they gave weapons to both sides. So you say Muslim country and Muslim country, but who's giving the weapons to fuel this genocide, which has, by the UN, they've admitted that this is one of the most catastrophic humanitarian crises that they've witnessed. In terms of hunger, in this day and age, we don't focus on Sudan, but a lot is happening in Sudan. As we said this morning earlier, you've heard it in the news as well, every 5 hours, one person is dying. Every 5 hours, one person is dying. This is the hospitals, all the medical workers, they've been killed. There's no one to assist. The hospitals are closed. They bombed and they closed. So we turn our attention. But here we're supposed to be focusing on Sudan as well. What is happening? The crisis that is there. Palestine, can we ever turn our attention away from there? Our Masjid al-Aqsa is there. The first Qibla for the Muslimin is there, Masjid al-Aqsa. So focusing our attention, meaning for this Ummah particularly. Now coming to this year, when we see in the Hadith Mubarakah, Khashya Yakhsha, Khashyatan. There's a beautiful Hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had stressed this year, and you can see yesterday as well, I've read another Hadith as well, which is mentioning what will happen to us when we abandon true jihad. When we abandon true jihad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause humiliation upon this particular ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause humiliation upon this ummah when we turn our attention away from jihad. So it is there, Muslim countries now, it is mentioned that they must come out now and lend their support, it is compulsory upon them to send their forces, their military aid to Gaza and send their weapons to show that, look, listen, we are in support. America can support the rogue regime Israel, but nobody can support Palestine. If you take in our own particular country here in South Africa, you know South African soldiers, South African Jews have been going to fight in the military part of the IDF. You know this for a fact, right? South Africans going to fight for the IDF. This is a fact. Who can deny this fact? Now, when you have this year, how come the Muslims are not allowed to go and support the Palestinians? You see this year, this shows the double standards. And remember, it was a promise once upon a time that those who'd return, who were participating with the IDF, they won't stand a chance then to come back to this country. And they will, or if they do come back, they're going to have criminal records. This is the case that was written last. But as you know, how things change. But the focus here is not on that. It's the double standards. The double standards. Coming back to this here, when you're going to abandon jihad, and this we're speaking of the Muslim Ummah, the Muslim governments, so for you, where are you going to go? So we're speaking specifically here. All those that are surrounding Gaza, your Egypts and the rest. First, we have to do jihad with those leaders, because those leaders are traitors. So once you do that, then you can come and help the true cause of Palestine, because they're going to be barriers. And how many times have they stopped aid, military aid, all of this year? That is why this was a strategic plan by the rogue regime, that over a certain time, we must have so many leaders who are in support of us. So you've got all your different countries, such as Egypt, and you have Bahrain, you have Sudan. Understand how they came onto there is because they caused this war. So they came onto the Abrahamic Accords, which was signed by Donald Trump in his first assignment as president. That is when this whole thing was unleashed, the Abrahamic Accord. So first you have to go and sort out all our Arab leaders. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the narration of Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari, Waylul lil Arab. Woe be upon the Arabs. And this is what they are actually doing here. If you see in the narration which I was speaking to you about in Abu Dawood, a beautiful narration, in there Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can check it up yourself. It is under the chapter Babun Fin Nahi Anil Ina. So yeah, the chapter regarding the prohibition of Ina, that's a whole separate discussion. What we're going to focus here is, the focus of this hadith is, when you start getting involved in interest, you're getting involved in your farming, and you're getting involved in all of these issues, worldly issues, what's going to happen? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ. When you engage in this transaction called عِينَ, small and short understanding, interest, وَأَخَذْتُمْ, but it's a specific time, وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ, when you are running after the tails of oxens. So وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ, holding the tails of oxen, meaning you are just so focused on worldly issues, right? For us here in South Africa, our cars and the rest, how much of value doesn't that hold on to? So once you of this nature, one person, and Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman had mentioned it to us earlier, they said when the people are engaging in driving Mercedes, Benz, BMW, then don't expect these people to go for jihad now. Then you've already worn the psychological aspect of it. So yeah, وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ, once you are holding the tails of oxen, وَرَضِيتُمْ بِزَرْعِ, and you are happy, you are pleased with agriculture, your farming, everything, industry, وَتَرَقْتُمُ الْجِهَادَ, and then you give up jihad. What does Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? صَلَّطُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause such disgrace to fall upon you. ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُهُ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. Nothing will withdraw it until you return back to your original deen. What a beautiful, meaning beautiful as in the sense, scary on the one end, but how apt were the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so much of solace, so much of solutions are found in this particular hadith for you and I in this particular time where the genocidal war is taking place, whether you are speaking of Gaza, whether you are speaking of what is happening in Sudan, whether you are speaking of what is happening in other areas of the world. What is the key? The key is that we return back to our deen. Once you return back to your deen, then what happens? You will return back to jihad. Once you return back to jihad, then now the aspect can be solved. But once you're running after this worldly life, running after status, this has become the greed and the cree of Saudi Arabia, the UAE and the rest. How they can get that title, how they can get in America's good books, how can they now focus their attention on materialistic gains. That is why they have to have continuously all these parties and Shakira and the rest always going there, and all of these Formula Ones and searching, seeking to how to have the World Cup there in 2034. All of this is what? Hungry, thirsty for dunyawi matters. But this is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us here, that such disgrace will befall upon this ummah, like you can never believe, and nothing will pull you out until you return. Hatta tarji'u ila dinikum. This is the key aspect. So when I see that the announcement has been made in Pakistan and the rest that jihad is now farad, it means upon those countries who have the muscle and power. And if you say as an individual that no, it's farad upon you, let's see how far you can get. We're not discouraging you. But when you are not waking up for Fajr Salah, then what benefit are you going to give to that group when your taqwa is not made? Now is the time. Now is the time to wear the garment of taqwa, to dress taqwa, and to focus on our salah, to build ourselves, our stamina. Because let's be honest, in those tough times, if you take my anger, your anger, someone just tells us something and we're already triggering, we're going wild, ballistic. So then someone comes and disturbs you, you think you're fighting in the path of Allah, but you are really fighting for your own nafs and desires. So we need to focus on training our nafs from now and giving up. This is what it's all about. And having a balance as well. So yeah, hatta tarji'u ila deenikum. You turn back to your deen. This is the call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made then. And it is suffice as nasiha. All of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words is it will prevail what he foresaw, and what he then prophesied will take place. So we need to focus our attention on turning back to the deen. That is what is key and criteria. Turning away from the Yahud and their dress, their styles, their hairstyles, their ways, their agenda. We need to turn away from that, because I'm screaming, marching, hey, Gaza, 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 and the rest. Nafdiqa ya Aqsa. So we're screaming all of this here. But when we are dressed like the Yahud, they're busy laughing at us. We've adopted the very way of the Yahud. That, how long have you been marching for? But this is the key aspect. Taraktumul jihad. And the reason for taraktumul jihad, for leaving out jihad, is because your attachment to this worldly life. If you see those three categories which Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has presented there, it is because of your attachment to this worldly life and all of its materialistic gains. That is what has turned us away. That is why you can speak to the people, you can tell them, now it is farad. What is happening? No, big, but my car, but my house, but my family, but this, but that, but the rest. We have to turn back to the deen first. This is criteria and key. So to have that balance, we were saying to you, وَخْشَدْ تَسَائِسَ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَمِنْ شِبَعٍ. And this is striking that balance. This is what we're going to speak about you. خَشْيَا يَخْشَى. We said to you, that means to fear. If you come in the hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, and this is the very reality, speaking of materialistic gains and desires. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed this, مَلْ فَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ. It is not poverty that I fear for you. So when you see your house doesn't have this, your house doesn't have that, it is not that which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared for you. مَلْ فَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَكِنْ أَخْشَى أَن تُبْصَدَ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. What I really fear is that the worldly life, the world will be spread before you. كَمَا بُسِطَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. Like how it was spread for those who came before you. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. And then you will compete just the way they had competed in that worldly life. How they competed then, you're going to compete now too. And you will be destroyed just the way they were destroyed. That is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he fears most for us. So for you and I, my oh beloved parents, what is our concern? My daughter, my son, they must succeed. They must earn that house, that greenery, that machine, that particular app or that particular technological device that they must have. That is key and criteria for us. If they don't have it, they are lost for us. You know, when you're traveling, you must have your GPS. You must have this, everything, check it. Your phone is charged, everything. Because if you get lost, at least you've got the app, at least you've got this, at least you've got that to assist you. But when did we ever say, I need to have taqwa in my life? When was that ever? Taqwa. And that's the month which was supposed to build your taqwa for the rest of the months. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That fasting, taking away from eating, but you never fasted the entire day. There was iftar, you kept on eating till suhoor, and or you kept on having meals in between. You know how many meals we have? So the balance, striking the balance. Even there, we're not balanced. If you compare us to the noble companions, which you can never ever do. But just to see how far away we are, how wayward we have become. But nonetheless, striking that balance. You couldn't fast. If someone, iftar time said, you know what, I'm continuing to fast. Then you say no. Now you're breaking the law. Striking the balance. This is, وَخْشَدْ تَسَائِسَ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَمِنْ شِبَعٍ. What is that? And fear evil, the evil of hunger and satiation. The evil, we often tend to think what? Evil is only in satiation, overeating. But staying too hungry for too long can drive you towards kufr as well. So striking that balance is what the Sharia is calling about. So this is the message for this year. Then if you see, there is a verse also of Surah Fatir, that is chapter number 35. We look at verse 28. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْأُلَمَاء. The people who only really fear from Allah's servants, who really fear Allah, are the ulama. Meaning when the ulama have this khashiyya, this fear of Allah, then the ummah will be running smooth. Then the ummah will be running smooth. But when the ulama are twisting, drifting, changing, like how the the Mufti, and that's what Mufti Mulana ASDSI called him. Hafidhahullah, what did he call him? He called the Mufti, Grand Mufti of Egypt, the Grand Iblis of Egypt. Why? He said, and he opposed. He opposed jihad, and he said that is an irresponsible fatwa to those who gave in favor of jihad in Gaza and for those to support the country's governments, Islamic governments to support. He said that's an irresponsible verdict. So these, you see, these kind of people will give these fatwa in favor of the rogue terrorist regime. Then you can understand something. You can understand something. But when they have khashiyah, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, O Allah, make us an imam for the muttaqeen, for the muttaqeen. When you become an imam, so what's key aspect here is, when you have taqwa to lead the ummah, then the muttaqeen can be presented, the muttaqeen can also find that we have a leader who's filled with taqwa. But when I and you and we together are not focused on that, then what happens? Normally in English, you're supposed to say, you and I. Don't say I and you. You and I. But in these issues, when it's time to practice, I must put myself first. Then we see. We must see then. So when you, Al-Pakistan, giving the fatwa, or the Muftian are giving the fatwa there, the respectable, which is quite brave and something that is good in that direction. But now ensure that there are groups mobilizing to achieve that which you have given the verdict for. So that you can set the example. This was Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. So there, that word khashiyah. If you see in Surah Al-Kahf, you'll see in verse number 80. فَخَشِينَا أَيْ يُرْهِقَهُمَا. And we feared. فَخَشِينَا أَيْ يُرْهِقَهُمَا. We dislike that he would impose rebellion upon them. So you know the whole incident, Musa alayhi salam went to meet Khidr alayhi salam. We're not going to go into the details, but Musa alayhi salam felt uncomfortable. What is happening here? This seems to be breaking the Sharia. And Musa alayhi salam, strong holding on to the Sharia, then wanted to find out what is happening here. This doesn't seem to be in line. So Khidr alayhi salam gave him three chances. After that, he said, you know, separation. Because I'm commanded by Allah, now you're questioning and your knowledge is different to mine. So we can go into that whole discussion another time. But here the focus is فَخَشِينَا, خَشِيَا. It also, فَخَشِينَا also comes in the meaning of to dislike. We dislike that son who was going to be of a burden and turn his parents into kufr because of what he's going to cause and the corruption. So to save that whole procedure, because they were people of taqwa, we took the son away. That's what Khidr alayhi salam is saying. So both parties are then, in akhirah they will see. So there is, gives us a lot of hope as well. Sometimes you lose a child. And it's going to be heart aching. You can't get over something like that easily. The pain is going to be there. Allah protect us. Allah guide us. We don't ask for difficulties. But when it comes, then look for ways to see how you're going to manage this difficulty. So like this, you lost. Think of it as an investment. I know women, meaning family members, who tell me that I wish I can have one child who passes away while it's still in the womb. That is, so you tend to say, but why would you want something like this? It's painful, it's this, it's that. They say, no, just so that my investment for Akhirah is there. My child will be waiting for me there and take me into Jannah. Yes, but that also refers to you. You have to come right also. So that is there, and the difficulty perhaps can lead you to that. But don't hear this. Actually, this principle, this stanza is teaching us a lesson. Don't go towards any of the extremes. Stay. Whatever Allah chooses, decrees for you, be happy with it. That is what this is teaching us. You're going to go too much and say, I'm going to sacrifice, not eat. Then you will see, it comes in the hadith also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things for you so difficult, you won't be able to manage it. You won't be able to manage it. Striking the balance is key. Eating, drinking, fasting at its times, appropriate times, doing things, but not going overboard. This is the balance that we speak about here. So, فَخَشِينَا, that came there. Then, وَخْشَ الدَّسَائِسَ. What's this word, الدَّسَائِس? الدَّسَائِس means to hide. You'd seen various verses in the Quran Sharif. يَدُسُّهُ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Right? To hide. Hide away. So what they wanted to do, if it was a girl in the days of Jahiliya, then what they would do if it's a girl baby, no, hide them in the sand. We don't have, because why? They felt it the burden. How Allah honored females. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored females. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughters. How many Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughters? Four daughters. Right? They loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you speak to parents today and they tell you, when this daughter was born, I got this. When this daughter was born, I got this. How Allah, in fact, in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Yahabu. Yahabu. Wahaba Yahabu means to gift. And Allah mentions first the females, to honor them. See? Honor is not what the feminist group says, this is honor. No, that's not honor. Feminists will tell you equal pay, equal rights. So what must you do? You must slog more, you must slave more, you must go more in the corporate world to be under some boss. He's not going to give you any off when you are going through your different stages of the month. You know what I'm speaking about? Where you're off from. Allah gives you off from Salah. You think your bosses, you'll be too shy to even tell him or ask him. And even if you had to, hypothetically, you had to say, you know, I just, you... It wouldn't happen. Say, what do you think? You're something special. We've got how many other females you're working? Unless he really likes you. That's another issue. Unless the boss really likes you for, and you married and you this and you. Can you see what you put yourself into? Allah honors you. But that honor which Allah honors you with, you don't want that. Because we're so westernized and secularized that that which Allah gives us as honor, we fail to accept. Allah protect us. Allah give us true, pure iman again. So, أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ, to hide. There we say. If you see, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. You'll see in the Quran Sharif, Allah says, Surah Al-Shams, verse 10, Allah says, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Those who pollute their souls, Allah speaks about. Pollutes their souls. So, yeah, what does it mean? You engage in so much of guna, your nafs is like drowning in sins. It's lost in sins. It's your nafs is hidden in sins. That's what it means here. Dasa yadusu. Wakshad dasa isa. So fear the evil min ju'in wa min shiba'in. The evil of hunger and satiation. That's where the size comes in, right? Your nafs is so engaged in sin that it's as if though you have no nafs anymore. Sins are covering you head to toe. This is it. وَخْشَدْ دَسَائِسَ, fear the evil, مِنْ جُوعٍ, from hunger, and from being totally satiated. جُوعٍ is not Jew which you speak. Jew, you see, at'amahum min Jew, Surah Al-Quraysh. Surah Al-Quraysh, you read all it. Li'ila fi Quraysh, ila fi mrihlat al-shita'i wa-swayf, fal-ya'budu rabba hadha al-bayt, alladhi at'amahum min Jew. There. The one who has gave you, he's fed you. He's fed them, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ, fed them and rescued them from hunger. So there. We said last week as well, the dua, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الجوع. Ask Allah for this. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الجوع فإنه بئس الضجيع. This is narration of Abu Dawood. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what didn't he teach us? Sometimes it's a sickness. You eat and eat and eat and you just don't get satiated or fulfilled. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الجوع فإنه بئس الضجيع. It's an evil hidden trait. Always being hungry. Hungry. Right? Always wanting, like you become like... Anyway, the dua goes on, وَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْخِيَانَةِ فَإِنَّهُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said also and sought refuge also from... What's this? خِيَانَة. خِيَانَة is to be treacherous. فَإِنَّهُ بِئْسَةِ الْبِطَانَةِ. That is an evil trait. فَإِنَّهُ بِئْسَ الضَّجِيعِ. An evil friend, an evil companion, this hunger, when you're engaging in it, it's not something that is why وَخْشَ الدَّسَائِسَ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَمِنْ شِبَعٍ. Both. Now, if you come here, and this is, if you see, شِبَعٍ. So the word جُوع, where does it come from? نَصَرَ يَنْصُرُ جَاعَ يَجُوعُ جَوْعًا جَاعَ يَجُوعُ. For those who are interested in Arabic and learning and everything. Then if you see this word here, which we are focusing now, shaba'in, this word here is, it comes from the word sami'a yasma'u. So we said shiba'in, and if you can say it also, shabi'a, sami'a. This, what does this mean here? It means to be fully satiated. If you see in the hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari, ma shabi'a alu Muhammadin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min khubzi burrin, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't fully satiated. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not fully satiated. He wasn't, not that you're fully satiated. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family didn't eat till they full. Ma min shaba'i. ما شبع آل محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من خبز بر. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم never ate till he's full. The family of Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم never ate till they're full for continuous 3 days until he صلى الله عليه وسلم left this world. حتى لحق بالله. Until he met with Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So there is Shabi'a. Going on, if you see, the next stanza, فَرُبَّ مَخْمَصَةٍ شَرٌّ مِنَ التُّخَمِ. For most times, hunger is more evil than overeating. Hunger is more evil than overeating. You know, for those who understand and those who are trying to better themselves and reforming, there will come a period where you just go full swing, change this, that, the other, right? But that times too, you must have a balance. Because why? Sometimes hunger is more evil than overeating. A person, he says, we can just apply to today's times, he says, you know what? I'm quitting my job. This person, that, the other. But you didn't ask a pious person what to do in that particular scenario, in that particular situation. You didn't consult. And because you didn't consult, what happened? Now you've thrown yourself into a bigger mess because now you don't have money to feed your children, your wife, and they're all staring at you. Now you're going to turn to haram to get what you had before. Because of one issue, but you didn't know at that time it was egoistic. So rather consult, what must I do with a pious person? And they will tell you, look, okay, this is the time now you have to leave because what you are earning is haram. That's different. But you have a job, it's halal income, but because of some issue, personal issue sometimes, but we cover it up to say it's some dini issue. That we try to hide from the Maulana, that we try to hide from the Mufti Sahab. It's some personal issue, but we make the dini issue the problem, so it's sort of like balances it to say that that person was. But that is why to confide, to consult, then how many times we were on the verge of doing so many things, but our seniors then tell us, see, this is what you must do at this point. This is important. Now, coming forth, going forward, if you see in the hadith as well, right? فَرُبَّ مَخْمَسَةٍ شَرٌّ مِّنَ التُّخَمِ Fa, this word fa. What is fa? Fa comes for different things. Here it means ta'lil. Ta'lil, what is ta'lil? It means the reason for. The reason for you falling into this evil many times is due to the hunger. Makhmasa means that over, that compelling hunger where you just cannot restrain yourself. This comes in the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this here. If you turn to verse number 3 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ فِي مَخْمَسَةٍ غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ لِإِثْمٍ Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ فِي مَخْمَسَةٍ غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this particular verse, but whoever is compelled by severe hunger, there's absolutely no way out. So, غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ So you have no inclination. There's no inclination towards it. Then this person here, he won't be considered a sinner. He won't be considered a sinner. Here's the verse here, verse number 3 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيتم وما ذبح على النصب وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم.
So sometimes you are compelled, and this is what, if you see the principle, it's connected here. Allama Abu Sayyidi rahimahullah is saying, and fear the evil of hunger and satiation. For many times, فَرُبَّ مَخْمَسَةٍ شَرُّ مِنَ التُّخَمِ For most times, hunger is more evil than overeating. See, Quran Sharif is teaching us a principle here. If you are in such a compelling situation, there's no food, you are on the verge of dying, what must you do then? There is some haram that is there, or there is some alcohol, so you're going to drink with no inclination to it and without satiating yourself. You're just going to drink that much to survive. Because why? If you die without eating, you die as a sinner in that particular situation. On the other end, someone is putting a gun to your head and they really, really, really going to shoot you dead. They say this God here is your God. Hanuman is your God. You say, no ways, never ever. So then there's many examples like this. Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu anhu, the scorching sun, the rest. And he refused. So you can there, to say no and be killed, martyred, you'll say there, is better. Is better. Although you can say it, but with your heart still stuck on beliefs, Islamic beliefs, the core beliefs, you're not giving it up in your heart. But the permission is given. But better is in that situation there. See, when it comes to hunger, then there's haram there and you need to eat just to survive, then it's fine. Just to survive. How strange, isn't it? Eh? The people of Palestine, their people so worried. Alhamdulillah, which is a good thing. Send your aid, send, but check everything is in order first to reach the hungry people there, definitely. We are worried about that, which is an excellent concern. It's a sign of a believer. But then for us, KFC does that, eat haram, we're not bothered. McDonald's, we're not bothered then. You want to save and rescue someone, but you yourself, what you're putting inside your stomach? See the balance, we need this balance back. So moving forward, there were three men. They came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the houses of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They asked, how did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this? How did it? And they were quite impressed. And they said, you know what? Our efforts, hey, it's totally insufficient. We are not doing absolutely nothing. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is forgiven past if he is masoom. Even if he had to, forgiven. Right? We have to do something. So one said, you know what? I will offer salah throughout the night, forever. The other said, I will fast throughout the year, and I'll never break my fast. The third said, I'll keep away from women and will not marry forever. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and said, Antumul ladhina qultum kada wa kada. Are you the ones who said these words here? That you won't do this, and you won't get married, and you're going to stand in salah and everything. We'll think, hey, buzruk. So Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith 5063, if you want the reference. Are you this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ama wallahi, inni la akhshakum lillahi wa atqakum lahu. Remember we did that word, khashya, yakhsha, here's it again. La akhsha, comes from there, akhsha, kha, sheen, and ya. La akhshakum lillah. Are you the ones who are saying this and that? Wallah, with regards to me, I am more fearing of Allah, the most fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have the most taqwa to Him. Lakinni asumu wa aftiru. I fast and I break my fast. Wa usalli wa arqudu. I perform salah and I sleep also. وَأَتَزَوَّجُ نِسَىٰ and I get married. See? You are saying the total opposite. Why you've gone to the other extreme? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said these words, which you've heard many times in the nikah ceremony, in the nikah khutbah. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. رَغِبَ normally means to be inclined towards something. But when an comes after, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ, whoever turns away, then it's the opposite. He's turning away. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from me. We'll end off with this principle. There's many other things which we could share with you there. But مَخْمَصَ, we were busy with that word. And then we gave you the principle of this particular stanza. And that is maintaining the balance by explaining this hadith here. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. You turn away from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, you're not from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You say no, you say social distancing, you say this, you say breaking the sunnah, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. You're not from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you can see how things changed. It was a pandemic proven even by them. Alhamdulillah. So now what we come to, مَخْمَسَ, we said to use hunger. فَرُبَّ مَخْمَسَةٍ شَرٌ is evil مِنَ التُّخَمِ. What is tukham? Tukham is to be satiated. So this word here, مِنَ التُّخَمِ, you can find it and you can, if you're searching in the dictionary, it comes from the word ضَرَبَ يَضْرِبُ, from that scale. So تَخَمَ يَخْتِبُ, that is where it comes from. تَخَمَ يَتْخِمُ, that's where it comes from. تَخَمَ يَتْخِمُ تَرَبَ يَضْرِبُ. So it means to be satiated, to be filled up. So if you see in Jaziratul Arab, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, what is Jaziratul Arab? Abu Dawood narration, hadith 3033 جزيرة العرب ما بين الوادي إلى أقصى اليم إلى أقصى اليمن إلى and this is where the sword comes in. Yeah. Where is جزيرة العرب? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that جزيرة العرب is from this particular direction, جزيرة العرب ما بين الوادي. It is from الوادي إلى أقصى اليمن to the extremes, to the ends of Yemen, إلى this place here, تخوم العراق. تخوم العراق إلى البحر. That's where this word comes from here. تخوم, right? What does this mean? It means extending to the frontiers of Iraq. This way, Iraq, and إلى البحر and the sea. That is where جزيرة العرب. So جزيرة العرب is from Wadi al-Wadi to the extremes of the Yemen, extending to the frontiers of Iraq, as is mentioned in the Hadith Alif Lam Ain Ra. So Iraq and the sea إلى البحر. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.